this understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart to say, I've got the love of Master down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart, I've got the love of Master down in my heart. Down in my heart to say, I've got the love of warming Nityananda down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart, I've got the love of Swami Nityananda down in my heart. Down in my heart to say, got the love of Christ down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the love of Christ down in my heart. Down in my heart to say, I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the love.
Down in my heart. And the pure light within you will guide your way. sunshine on you, all around surround you.
Yeah, that's better.
May the long time sun shine upon you, while love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way home. May the long time sun shine upon you, while love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way home. May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way home. May the long time sun shine upon you, and the pure love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way home. May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way home. May the long time sunshine on you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way home.
night and day.
Open my eyes and
from all obstacles, and bless us with spiritual, mental, and physical unfoldment. Lead us from darkness to light, ignorance to truth, mortality to immortality. Teach us by dream, by vision, by revelation, and by direct materialization. And let those that are spiritually your own come unto us. They will reason, they will, and they will act. But guide our reason, will, and acts to the right place for the right experience. And may thy love shine upon us, the sanctuary of our devotion, that we may be able to awaken love in all hearts. Om Shanti Peace. Amen. Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Om Mane Padmane Om. Om Mane Padmane Om. Om Mane Padmane Om. The kingdom is that cosmic vibration, that universal principle, this whole cosmic principle. Coming forth is hearing it within yourself. You want to hear the sound. You want to hear those sounds coming forth from within the structure of your being and be capable of identifying with it. It's responsible for the whole of creation, the atoms, every form of life. It's the audible life stream. You want to hear it. The more you hear it, the more you become identified with it. And as you become identified with it, you begin to experience the bliss. The joy must follow. It is in that state that Jesus meant, God is spirit and must be worshipped in spirit. God is vibratory force field, or intelligent force field, and must be experienced in an intimate way. In a very intimate way, you must feel this force field within you. You must feel this bond, this glow, this shutting down of the senses, and transcending to that spiritual plateau where you can feel the oneness. After you arrive at that particular intimate bond, your next experience is, thy will be done. You know for the first time that it is not your will that is coming forward. It's God's will. His desire for a perfected creation. The perfected creation is something that we have to live out. We have to live out His perfection. He has already designed the creation, and we have strayed away from the creation by avoiding living out the will of the Lord. We have used the permissive will, which is the free choice, to satisfy our own personal desires. But we have not used it to satisfy the one desire of God, that creation remain perfect. Our sole purpose is to ally ourselves with that will. Our sole purpose is to complete this creation. Do you realize now why the divine will becomes important in your life? It is not a dictatorial will. It's not intended as such that God will be dictatorial in your life and command you to scrape and grovel in the dirt and to endure all your trials without a reason. We endure our trials for a reason. Our tribulations have a purpose. It is to complete that divine will, that divine pattern of perfection laid out for our existence. It took us a long time to get to the realization that our will must ally itself with God's will. This is very important. When you begin to see why every action is synchronized to His will. At certain levels of thinking, you may say, that is very dictatorial, that is predestined. But naturally, predestination, in a cosmic sense, is divine will. This building had to be wired before they could put the power into it. The electricians have to set it up, or else the powerhouse would not turn on the power unit. The creator had to pre-wire our mechanism with certain principles. He had to set his cosmic desire into motion. Therefore, our relationship is a surrender to that will. It's necessary for us to surrender in order to achieve forgiveness. We don't know what it is to be forgiven yet. We think we are being forgiven or we can forgive. But until we surrender this sensory will, then God's forgiveness flows in. And you feel yourself swelling up, getting bigger and bigger, stronger and stronger, taller and taller, wider and wider, into infinity. For the first time, you understand what is being given for, why this force is given to you for a purpose, to fill you with His love, to make you aware of His love. You become identified with Him more and more. Jesus said, "He that doeth the will of the Lord is my brother and my sister." It places a great responsibility upon each one of us as individuals. Why? We must recognize divine will governing and regulating our entire activity. There is no better way to make the divine will come into manifestation quicker than by being involved with Seva. Seva helps you to bring this into relationship, into manifestation. You begin to see the joyousness of it with all the bunged up kneecaps and ankles. It's still joyful. Hammering your finger when you should have hammered the nail. Alright, you know, rooting up the wrong vegetable, leaving the door open. All this is the savor in which makes us realize ourselves.
Sitting down and falling at the door.
But it's savor. Coming in.
Yeah,
it's Seva.
Yeah.
Lucky's enjoying the rain out there. But you see how divine will is brought into perfection or demonstrated. It's being done. That means the action is experienced. This is an active life. I don't give you the illusion that you can come and sit down and waste your time in corners and meditate. No, sir. Here we are working our way back to the Creator on our own 2 feet. But the joyousness of the activity supersedes every other joy that is inactive. It's all right to sit down and think of God all day and drum up all type of mental images. It's okay to listen to the word inside and be enraptured by it. But you know what is greater? It's to live out the word in a physical act. Because then you find out your own shortcomings. Then you need greater love to come in the form of grace to lift you up. You know that song, "When Nothing Else Would Work"? Can we chant it?
I was thinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore, very deeply chained within, seeking to rise no more. But the masters of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I.
try to understand about ourselves in the spiritual life, where to look for the emphasis, where to place the feet on the right rock. The whole life is full of quicksand, full of all kind of animals ready to prey upon us. And they say when Jesus walked across the water, he might have known from his stone to step on. So he didn't slip off. But this is what I'm trying to say. Knowing what spiritual quality to place your consciousness on and strive to maintain it. That is the love. You're trying to feel love that lifts you up every time. Now that will be done is always going to be on earth as an active state, as a state of confrontation, as a state of completion, because it's designed as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven means the design is already set up. It's the divine will already set up in the divine principle within to be perfect. The architect draws up his plans and then he projects it out and gives the contractor to go ahead and get the material. But there's little Joe like me and you and everybody who got to take the nails and the hammer and the mortar and put it all together and make that beautiful dream come alive. Equally true, we as souls have to make the reality of God's dream come alive by living out the will on the earth plane. The earth plane is not a place to run from. It's not a place to be afraid of. It was primarily designed for a place to enjoy God's grace. No one ever told you that. Huh? You didn't realize that it was for the first place. Most of us are running away from it because we're afraid to come back to it. If we live the will of the Lord, this earth is a paradise. This earth is the completion of his desire, that of his great will in the heaven consciousness now made manifest on the material level. This is where the joyousness is experienced. Yogananda said, if you can't make your body a portable paradise, you would not know one when you arrive there. You wouldn't know what paradise is, it would be in the first place if you never experienced it in the physical realm. Experiencing the joyousness of learning to function according to divine will on a physical level, then you would synchronize with the divine will on the inner level. The two now are in a state of balance. That is the reason why we must complete the creation within ourselves. Now, there are necessary things to be done to bring about this completion. One, our daily sustenance must be given to us, that this moment-to-moment vibratory energy must sustain us directly through the medulla oblongata. We have to live directly by that vital power. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, moment to moment, constantly, we must be sustained by the direct cosmic energy. So, Divine Mother teaches us to live more and more on direct cosmic energy, and less on solids and liquids. Because this is where we're supposed to be nursed. A baby nurses from its mother. We as physical entities nurse from the creative source via the medulla oblongata, the mouth of God, where the sustenance is coming in by the principle of photosynthesis, thus keeping us alive to function now according to divine law. So that's number one thing that is necessary for us to perform the perfected will, to bring about the perfected will, to bring about the God's desire of perfection in the world, his to complete His perfected work. Give us this day our daily bread. So He has to sustain us. So that's His responsibility, to sustain us. It's our responsibility to draw on it. Just like the mother's breast is filled with the milk, it's still a baby, must nurse and draw from it. It's a two-way action. And forgive us our trespasses. Now, that again is the divine responsibility to level out the misuse of the will. As we forgive them the trespass against us, as we in a physical way learn to prune off all mistakes of abusing this will that delays us from fulfilling the desire of the Creator. The desire of the Creator is the perfected world according to His will. But if we avoid it, disobey it, delay it, then we have to seek forgiveness from some source. Just as much as others who offend us would have to seek forgiveness from us. Because they may be offending us in a sense that they are not complying to our wishes or our desire pattern. Just as much we are offending the Creator by not complying to His command. You see? Why He has to provide us with the forgiving process, and why we also must provide others with the forgiving process to complete the plan. And lead us not into temptation. Well, naturally, the whole world is designed to test us. And if it's designed to test us, it's also designed for us to obey. And it's designed also to find out if you will disobey. Now, if you obey by following the will, then the temptation can be transcended. If you don't obey, then the temptations begin to increase. Once you break one condition, then more temptations come up for you to break it. Do you see? If you obey the very first time, then temptation don't have a chance to get stronger than you. Divine will gets stronger than the temptation. Divine will gets stronger than the environment. The moment you disobey the very first time, then environment gets stronger than your own divine will in you. It starts to increase now, proportionately to the divine will, until you accept the obedience and then correct it. If you don't accept that, then you can't correct it. It's not possible. You're going to find a tremendous tug of war going on inside. So, lead us not into temptation is to help us to realize that we must obey the divine will in order to gain the strength to overcome the trials and endure them. Because all trials only come to pass, they don't come to stay. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, see? You will transcend, you will be lifted up if you obey. You will get the strength to resist the environmental pull. It's natural for you to have this deliverance from that natural environmental pull. Evil is L-I-V-E spelled backwards. So if you live it up, you naturally are disobeying. If you channel your consciousness and live correctly, then you are transcending. You are gaining the strength to obey and work the plan out. Bring about the perfection in yourself. So, the whole prayer becomes a way of life. for the first time. That a human being can now have a sort of a guideline in behavior that will alter his mechanism. The ethical life alters molecules all the time. We see it every day. You can see it every day in persons who begin to follow the ethical life, begin to follow the spiritual mood. The cells begin to change. The whole body becomes soft and pliable, becomes smooth, radiant. The evidence is there. Because the tensions are slowly being released. For the first time, the inner love is coming to the surface. That inner love is what you call the power, the vibrancy, the movement within the mechanism. It glows. That's why they say power and glory, radiant. It glows all over. And it's a world without end, because we are forever, eternally the I Am principle. The I Am principle has no beginning, it has no end. Out of this one understanding, you have your total freedom. The emphasis then is trying to obey the divine law in order to fulfill the cosmic desire for perfection. The Creator has set His creation up. This is where meditation comes in. Meditation is receptivity. God is transmitting to you as the sun current, the light, and the bliss. When we receive it, we can only receive according to our degree of calmness, our degree of obedience. Our receptivity is geared proportionately to the degree of obedience. Amazing, when you think of it, when you begin to realize its activity. That degree of receptivity is proportionately released according to the obedience inside, obedience to the divine principle. Because obedience demands surrender. It demands letting go, let God. You see, if we don't let go and let God, then we are blocking Him. If we block Him, then there's nothing flowing. Then there's turmoil, there's irritability, there's restlessness. There's all types of kicking, analyzing, computing. And before you know it, you're one frustrated individual. Filled to the neck to boredom. But if you let go, then everything becomes possible, because the joy passes through you. Now, joy can come in many ways, in the form of a dream, a vision, a revelation, or is it direct materialization of the Lord? So you see, when we surrender, His will is done. His will is for us to experience the perfect creation. Something throw some ideas for them to think about. Share some ideas with them.
No, it's 5 after 9.
Yes?
Pastor, you know, there's a new translation of the Lord's Prayer. Does it carry the same impact as the King James?
The St. James is the closest metaphysically ever translated by the great initiates or mystics, with the true impact. The modern day one throws a great deal of detraction for what is important about it. You see, for instance, in the King James Version, the healing of the woman that had an issue of the blood, it goes like this. If I would but touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole. She touched, and he said, power left me, or power went out of me. The newer translations by the different men, they all say virtue or quality has gone out of me. And they use the word push. This distorts the whole thing. Consciousness in a state of oneness is energy, because this substance is energy. It's power. It's a force field. It requires power, a tremendous intensity, to alter the cellular structure of the individual who is tapping in on it. Now, if it was not power that went out of him, he would not be able to identify the individual who drew the power. If it was just virtue, how does that go out? So he was able to point out to the woman and say, your faith had made thee whole. It was a definite energy release from his body mechanism. He knew there was a drain of energy that went out in some way, affected the woman. Now, touching the hem of the garment of an individual would have to be energy and not virtue, because the garment is a manifestation of matter, which is energy. And his intelligence identified with that energy would be the Christ principle locked up in it, that would perform the correction of the karmic responsibility in that woman. She is reaching out for forgiveness by saying to herself, if I would have touched the hem of his garment, I would be made whole. She is bringing her limited will, or permissive will, that she abused, back into his divine will, or his own Christ will, that is aligned with the divine will. She had to line up her will to it. So in this way, power must go out. So the scripture says, nothing moves except by divine will. Not a single thing can set itself into motion except by divine will. Now this covers a whole tremendous scientific relationship of our existence, that not a single thing could move or vibrate except be done by divine will. No thing, no vibratory force sets itself in motion except by divine will. Yet that same vibratory force possesses a permissive will, a will to choose to delay the action or to complete the action. As usual, our friends are on time, and the rain is softening up the ground for us again. And we expect everybody here in time in the morning to meditate. So it will be as usual here in the chapel. We thank you, masters and loving elementals.
Can we sing the song, "We Love You, We Love You, We Love You"?
Yes, we're going to sing it right now.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
The way if the movement is set, and if you were to draw the wand in gradual at each edge, you were just a trifle different, and then you flip the pages, it will look like if a cross was falling. Yet there is no cross, but it's just a slight alteration of the line, how you put it at the edge of the page to give it motion.
They used to have little books that you could buy, little thick,
yeah,
wide books. They had little tiny motion pictures in the corner that you could flip.
And then if you took each one,
yeah,
you would never notice the difference. This is exactly what is happening to us. We are all the result of this marvelous divine will, which is in motion. But slightly bending, bending, bending. And then you flip the whole thing. You see the whole thing spins. And you say the man now is moving. Yeah. Our horse is walking.
This process really is sort of like if they already had started slowly.
Yes.
And it's speeding up as it moves on from the regression getting in synchronization.
Right. So, slow motion is the various desire patterns slightly bent. Our desire to move from here to here is the same hand with slight gradation. It's the same hand, but you are, look up, let's say, for every gradation is one page. Every gradation is another page. Next, next, next. So let's count them. This is the first page with this particular degree of the hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 12, 13, 14, 15. From this position of the 90 degree angle to this position 90 degree angle, there are 15 gradations of the same hand. Flip those 15 gradations and you see this. The hand has moved. In reality, the hand doesn't move. There are only fixed gradations. From God's will to God's will is a 90 degree movement. The gradations are all God's will. The uniqueness of God's will acting as man's will is this. You got the idea? So we believe now we have free will. This is the because of the identification with the degrees of gradation. It's because here is a freedom, here's the freedom, here's the freedom, 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 back. But each one is still an angle to 90 degrees, however you look at it in a circle. But the moment you set some action to spirit, that's what love makes the world go around, God makes the world go around. Something that makes a circular movement in that gradation, we now feel and recognize it as free will. All right. Lift your right hand up. Just look at it for one moment. Put it back down at the 90 degree angle from your body. Now, to bring it to another angle, it takes so many different gradations to come to that. And hold it there at this 45 degree angle. Now, you carry it back down at 45 degree angle. Yet you're moving it simply by desire and the action, desire and the energy to move it. So because the desire to move it and the energy to flow gives you free will. It is your free will that you say, well, I can move my hand. I am moving my hand. Now if somebody was to just pull it up, see? The external force exerting to pull it up. It will fall back. So this other force is exerting upon it is free will in its own right. When it lets go, it falls back into place. Now, when this hand wants to come to this position, it has to move through those various degrees of or angles, and that's again free will. So when you look at a film of a motion picture, the slight variations of the particular image, once that variation is set into motion, it gives the image the apparent appearance of independence of action. Therefore, we say the apparent appearance of action now is the image own free will. Do you follow? It appears to be moving, it appears to be demonstrating motion. So we are saying that the image now that is appearing to be moving has the quality of free will. When in reality the image has no free will, strictly various degrees of the same image from a different angle to another angle, from one angle to another angle. The face is looking here, and it must look in this direction. So, for it to turn at an angle and back, but for it to appear to be doing like this independently, is so many gradations of my face being twisted around. You'd have to draw it with such subtle, unnoticeable changes until it becomes, if it takes 100 repetitions or copies of the face in a slight degree from where it started, we will see that this now is the apparent free will in the mechanism. So when the mechanism is infused with a life movement or like energy, like a movie film, it appears now to be alive, animated. Then it appears to have this power of free motion or free will is the result of a preset condition in this mechanism. Therefore, God's will is the only will. God's will is the particular gradation
the hand is here, or the hand is here, and between this angle to this angle, there are different gradations all drawn off. Each one is all drawn up to demonstrate. Like spokes in a wheel. Very simple to understand. Here's a line. Here's A. Let's call a line AB. Now we want to go to C. Our idea is to go in this direction. So if we shift the line, it's A, B shifting its position all the time. Going down in that same angle, going down, AB going across, AB going across. It's one line, the same measurement. Yet, look what we have, like a fan, right? Yet, if you were to do, if you were to just drop, make, take all each gradations and let's count them. See. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. It will take 24 lines of AB to produce contact with C, or put it in this position of like BC. It'll take 24 AB to look like 1 BC. Get the idea? It requires 24 of AB to look like 1 BC in angles of gradation. Now, looking at it with the ordinary eye, it looks like 24 images of AB because of time. Now, if you were to drop it, it looks like only one AB became one BC from a time principle. So slow motion, and when you see a slow motion picture, you always see many multiple forms of the same thing going through. And when the thing is actually moved up to normal time, which you call retinal time, everything looks like one movement, because that is the familiarity of the, of your eyes. You're familiar to see the thing go right through. And it's moving at so many frames per second, or so many ABs per second, to give you the retinal time. Mm-hmm. So, because of that, then you see now this so-called illusion. That's why it's called optical illusion. This so-called illusion of the optic gives the mind the sensation or the feeling of independence. And as soon as it gets this feeling of independence, it makes a statement to itself by saying, "My will. I am free. I can do what I want." You see? Where in reality, it's only time motion. So our so-called free will is the result of time motion. A certain motion to register as a certain time of one particular condition in life. My hand to go from this knee to this knee must make a motion like a curve, and it must go through within a measurement called time. It takes that seconds to move across.
Yep, if I did this, after a while, what happened? You'd see my hand like this becoming one. There would be no point of... If I was to keep up the action faster and faster, it will, between these two points, between the two knees, my hand after a while would be appearing to do like this. It's just like the spokes in a wheel. When I look at the wheel, and the spokes are all radiating out. You see all the spokes, they're all radiating out from the center. And if you spin the wheel slowly, the spokes appear to be moving, right? Then as it increases in speed, what happened to the spokes? Well, where did they go to? So invisibility to the retinal vision or optical vision is the result of a heightened state of motion of various gradations. Do you see it? That
goes,
yeah.
So it goes through a couple of phases there. It gets to one point where it looks like it's staying still.
Yes.
And it gets to another point.
It's going backwards.
Going backwards.
All right. These are all the various illusions of free will. Yes. Correct. And therefore it is, the mind is being not steady. That's why Jesus says, when thine eyes are single, he's really saying, when the mind is steady, like they're putting the finger over the eyeball to keep it steady. So by keeping it steady, it doesn't quiver no more, so you can see the light inside better. You have a better optical view of the light inside. By keeping the finger in the ears, the hearing becomes steady, so you get a deeper receptivity to the sound. This particular experience is to induce or produce the steadiness of the consciousness. And that is what we call focusing. You're actually focusing light from the retina and from the and focusing the sound from the tympanum so that it stays steady. In other words, you don't want oscillation. You're trying to maintain steadiness and not oscillation. And the oscillation would break it up, whereas the steadiness would give it the direct image. It'll hold its form. So it says, when thine eyes are single, yes, they are two, they're centered, they're focused to the one point, turned into a central point or a single eye, but the internal condition is of a steadiness that must occur in the watching, so that the mind does not drift, because the mind has a tendency to drift. And equally true, the mind has a tendency to wander in the hearing. So you want to watch and hear, which is reception now, in a very relaxed state. There is where I think Tai Chi is a better form of exercise for bringing about the looseness of the body prior to meditation than the yoga posture. The yoga posture does recharge the body, but it doesn't leave it in a loose, free-flowing state of buoyancy. Whereas Tai Chi, you understand, gives you the buoyancy feeling, the conscious gradation of motion. You are actually pushing the air with the body to make a motion. And by doing that, you are breaking what is called the magnetic restrictions of the mechanism. So the mechanism feels buoyant. Instead of, try it. See, let's try this. try the heavy movement, and the heavy movement, and holding it in one position, and then to come back now and push against the ear. You see? Pushing against the ear leaves it buoyant. It's ready for flight. It's ready for flow. You see? And because it's ready for flow, it's more receptive. So the whole body now is pressing against the air flow of receptivity. Because now energy is acting on matter. For the first time, you're becoming conscious of the energy acting on matter.
How is Tai Chi?
Tai Chi is old as the origin of acupuncture.
Yoga then would be older.
Well, it's a Chinese yoga.
But I mean, it seems like in this area that Tai Chi is more applicable to us nowadays than really yoga. Mm-hmm. So yoga is basically something out of it, literally.
Well, you see, yoga is matter acting on matter. It's matter acting on matter. Tai Chi is energy acting on the matter. See? And consciousness acting on matter is the actual holding the hand and feeling now that your hand has lost its sensation of weight. See? There is no sensation of weight. See, your hand has no sensation of weight. It just stays there. So as long as sensation is no longer pushing or pulling, then this is consciousness that is holding it there. It's mere consciousness to hold it. Yeah, the consciousness to hold it. Now, as you focus consciousness to hold it, touch it and see how it is almost getting devoid of feeling. It seems to be semi-numb. Right? You are actually making the whole matter structure consciousness, therefore producing self-anesthesia.
This is how I can react in the dentist.
Right, because consciousness now of all the cells present here have taken over on the matter structure and identified throughout, so there is no reaction no more.
I find myself saying my hand is moving in the air, not.
Uh-huh.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
This would be helpful then, because you're really exercising your consciousness.
Yes, you're exercising your consciousness, and you're raising the alpha rhythm of the brain now, because it's consciousness acting on matter, controlling the matter, in where matter and consciousness are arriving at a state of oneness. And the oneness is a state of suspension of feeling. Now this suspended feeling would be the equivalent of anesthesia in the cell. The same thing is induced by anesthetic process. So there is no sensation, there is no registration, and you can push your needle or whatever you can work in it, there is no registration. Because consciousness is now fully acting in that area. Acting on matter.
But in your case, you were going to start going through and very, very early years, not really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You woke up and said,
during the period of consciousness acting on matter, there is no feeling. When the consciousness withdraws from the matter and the energy flows back into the level, and then matter becomes matter again, you drop to the next level down, then the sensation comes back, then the redness or that spot starts showing up. And then you know that somebody is really giving you a working over.
Is this what, like, Yogananda calls life force control?
What?
What Yogananda calls life force control, like
life
the same
force
principles in the recharging.
Life force control. This is the technique of life force control. Consciousness acting on the mind. But that's only the preliminary stages of it. Life control in its fullest control is consciousness acting on energy. That's the complete control of it. So you have to arrive at consciousness acting in energy, then consciousness acting in consciousness, it's more and more refined. But that is a preparation to life control. That the consciousness is controlling matter, then it must control energy. Because life is conscious energy. Well, it's a few minutes that we have a little meditation and take off and give ourselves a break to lighten and do our savings.